In today's halacha, we're going to go into the detailed laws of the Arba Minim, the Dalud Minim that are used on Sukkot. In general, it is strongly advised for one who is able to show his Dalud Minim to a Rav that's knowledgeable in these laws, as the amount of halachas within the Dalud Minim are abundant, and it is difficult to ascertain exactly all the details in a perfect manner. Nonetheless, we're going to go through a general checklist of things to look into when purchasing a lulav, an esrig, hadassim, and others. It's brought down that every single person should place effort to have their own set of dalad minin and not rely on someone else's. The Rebbe encouraged that stock organizations should make it their purpose that each person should afford a set of dalad minim for the holidays. When purchasing an esrig, the following things are to be paid attention to. It is our minog in Chabad to make sure that the esrig comes from the region of Calabria in Italy. There's a few different reasons mentioned behind this custom. One of the reasons is because it's one of the places that has a tradition in Masaira that the esrigim from that region are not workable. A grafted esrig is invalid minatayra throughout Sukkot. And therefore, one may only buy an esrig that has a tradition that it does not come from a grafted orchard. And as it's written in the Tshuva Chassam Sefer, the Calabria esrig has such a tradition. The Alter Rebbe, in fact, stated that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told the mitzvah of Kach Lochem, take for yourself Pri Eitz Hadar, there were actually angels that were sent to Calabria to pick esrigim from that area. The Rebbe says in the letter that the reason for the advantage of Calabria is because that is the Shamni Ha'aretz, the fat of the earth, that was granted to Esau. One is to carefully examine to make sure that there are no missing pieces from the esrig. Even a small missing piece of an esrig is invalid lichatchila on the first day and may not be used. And in Chutz La'aretz, as well as the second day, may not be used. However, during Chol HaMoed, if there's a missing piece from the esrig remains kosher. So once again, one must verify that there's not even the smallest and tiniest amount missing from the esrig. According to the Alter Rebbe, it's only defined as a missing piece if part of the actual white peel of the esrig is missing, but if just the green or yellowish external peel of the esrig is missing, it remains valid so long as the white is not shown. One is to verify that it does not have a broken pitum. Sometimes it is difficult to differentiate between an esrog that grew without its pitum, which means that the pitum fell off during the growth, and one whose pitum fell off. One of the ways of verifying this is by looking and seeing a small groove within the area of the pitum, which is usually a sign that the pitum fell off while it was growing on the tree. If a pitum fell off during Sukkot, so if it fell off in a way that only the sheshanta, the wood protuberance, broke off, while the other half remains completely on the esrog, it is kosher, even lechatchila. However, one should not initially buy such an esrog if a nicer esrog is available. If, however, part of it fell off in a way that it reveals part of the groove within the esrog, meaning part of the meat and skin of the esrog, then it should not lechatchila be used during Sukkot. One must verify that the oketz, that the stem, is intact, and that the entire stem is intact, as if even part of the stem has broken, it may not be used lichatchila. One is to make sure that the esrig is clean of blemishes. Blemishes means color changes and blisters. Blisters, as defined by the Alter Rebbe, chazazis, are no longer really common today in the esrigim. However, color changes are common. Color changes can be white dots, black dots, brown dots, etc. If there's a color change in the area called the chaitim, which is when you hold the esrig upwards, meaning with its pitum upwards and oketz downwards, and you look at the top half where it begins sloping inwards towards the top of the esrog, that area is called the chaitim. Even the smallest but seeable change of color in that area invalidates the esrog for use due to lack of being chada. And therefore, one must take care to make sure that there's no color changes in that area. One does not, however, have to inspect it in close vision, and it is to be inspected from a normal distance, and it is only, as the Alter Rebbe writes, Bashkof Rishoyna, at first sight. So if at first sight, from a normal distance, one doesn't notice any color changes, and only when he brings it closer or contemplates does he notice a change of color, that is not included in the invalidation, and the esrog remains kosher. Color changes on the bottom part of the esrog below the chaitim are also preferably not to be had. It should be clean of it. However, so long as there aren't two or more color changes, then the esrog remains kosher. So if there's one color change below the chaitim, it's okay. And if there's any color change above the chaitim, it is no good. It's important to note that many times dots and color changes are not real color changes. For example, sometimes dots is from the pesticide that's placed on the fruit, and that is not a problem. Likewise, a lot of times a color change is really a bletloch, which is a leaf mark, and leaf marks, bletloch, are not at all a problem, even if they are by the chaitim. As it says in Sefer Menhagim, we are particular to choose a completely yellow esrog, and the esrog should not be green. Some have written that it is better to prefer an esrog that is yellow but with bletloch than an esrog that is clean but is still green. Choosing a lulav. The spine of the lulav is to be at least 32 centimeters long. This means that from the bottom of the lulav, where the leaves begin coming out, until the top part of the spine, where the spine splits into three different leaves, and there's a top middle leaf, from that area to that area, it must be 32 centimeters for the lulav to be kosher. Furthermore, one must make sure that when he places his adasim and aravis by the lulav, that the spine of the lulav extends at least 8 centimeters, which is one tefach above the adasim and aravis. As the Altar writes in Shulchan Aruch, Tzorech Lizoher Ma'id. And this is not measured from the actual top of the lulav, but from the top of the spine, as we defined earlier, that the spine begins, that the spine ends where the leaves begin spreading out on the top of the lulav. One must take care to look at carefully by the lulav is the tiyamis. The tiyamis is the most middle centered leaf. It's the highest leaf and the most centered leaf. Sometimes you have two centered leaves, and then this law would apply to both leaves. The tiyamis is to be doubled. Each leaf of the lulav contains two leaves that are sort of glued on their back. So the tiyamis, the middle leaf, must be l'chatchila, mitzvah mufcher, closed from top to bottom. If one cannot find such a lulav, then it's not a problem and it remains kosher so long as it is not completely split from top until the area where the spine begins. One must make sure that the tiyamis is not cut off. If the top of the tiyamis has been cut, the lulav is initially invalid. And therefore, it's important not to buy a lulav that has a very, very pointy top, as if this top gets hit on a ceiling, that point can come off and it will be considered a lulav sheniktam, a top of a lulav that has been cut off, which is initially invalid to be used. The lulav may not be bent to either the right side, the left side, or forward. However, the lulav may be bent by its spine backwards toward the back of the spine. The Rebbe was particular to buy a lulav that has korah, which is this brownish, leafish material that covers over the lulav and verifies that all the leaves remain closed and stuck to each other. This is a chumrah in following the opinions of the Ga'inim that say that the lulav is to contain leaves that are all glued and attached to each other as one unit. Laws of the Hadassim. The Hadassim are to be at least 24 centimeters from top to bottom. They are to l'chatchila have all their leaves intact from top to bottom, and all the leaves are to be completely meshulash, which means that in the hadassim, every set of leaves grows three together. So it should be l'chatchila 24 centimeters worth of leaves that are growing in pairs on the same vertical line, which is difficult to say over here on an audio, but many are aware of this idea when they see it in picture, that the stems of each one of the three leaves that grow along the stem of the hadas are to begin on the same symmetric line and not one above the other. If, however, one cannot find one which is 24 centimeters completely mishulish, but majority of it is mishulish, is symmetric in its three pair leaves, then it is valid even l'chatchila. If it is not, however, majority mishulish, then it is pasul. One may not cut off the top of the hadasim. So if one needs to shorten it, it is to be cut only from the bottom. Leaves that grow randomly on the hadas, meaning that are not part of the three sets, but are just growing between sets, may be plucked off. and are preferably to be plucked off. Laws regarding the aravis also are to be 24 centimeters from top to bottom. The chatchila, the aravis are to have all of their leaves intact without any leaves that have fallen off. But nevertheless, if at least majority of the leaves remain, it remains kosher. The aravis are pasul if the top of it is cut. Therefore, care must be taken when shortening hadat aravis to cut it only from the bottom and not from the top. Throughout the yomtiv, it's proper to check the aravis, which very easily lose their leaves throughout the days. Sometimes even on one day they can lose their leaves. So one should try to check them each morning to make sure they still contain majority leaves. And if not, then they are to be switched for other aravis. For this reason, it is suggested to buy many, many aravis before the chag in order to be able to switch them as is required.